So today we begin a new series. Many of you knew if you received a flock note about this. We begin a new series about a book of Eric Butterworth. Eric Butterworth was an absolutely famous gifted minister, metaphysician, teacher, lecturer, radio personality, and author of over 16 bestsellers. If you've read at least one book by Eric Butterworth, raise your hand. Look at that, almost everybody in the room. So he has an amazing gift with words. He really does. He spent his entire ministry dedicated to helping people study and really apply principles of truth to their lives so that they could just live more abundant, joyful lives. He had that rare ability to translate really deep, complex spiritual concepts down into everyday language that everybody could understand and remember. One of my favorite Butterworthisms, is his definition of sin. Who knows what it is? Sin is what? Self-inflicted nonsense. That's classic Eric Butterworth. He has been called the Emerson of the 20th century. Now, even though Eric Butterworth made his transition from this life in 2003, there is a new book authored by him, published last year, called Practical Metaphysics, An Insight into Truth. I can explain, okay? During Butterworth's long career in the ministry, he talked about practical metaphysics a lot in almost every class and every book, but he actually didn't write a book about it. So in, 1981, he taught a class on practical metaphysics, and he produced a taped album, in those days a cassette, does anybody remember what they are? Were a cassette entitled A Course in Practical Metaphysics. And Mark Hicks, who is the founder of TruthUnity.net, had that particular class completely transcribed. Next, Unity editor Reverend Michael Madej, he was one of my teachers at the Village, Michael Madej turned those transcripts into the book that we will explore the next few weeks. And I'm also happy to announce that our LUT in training, Ann Hartyupi, where are you, Ann, over there, is going to be doing a Sunday morning class on this book in June, starting June 17th. So some of you will have a chance to come and just delve more deeply into the concepts. Books are available in our bookstore today, and so I guess what you can do is save all your hard questions for Ann. She'll answer them in June, right? Okay. In his introduction, Michael Madej defines metaphysics. Metaphysics made up of meta, which means above or beyond, and physics, which means the physical world. So traditionally, we define metaphysics as beyond the physical, seeing something beyond the physical world. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, defined metaphysics as the systematic study of being, that which transcends the physical, that which transcends the physical. So in Unity, we ask such really complex questions, such as, what is the nature of God? What is the nature of humankind? And we recognize divine ideas as the fundamental eternal truths that underlie and transcend everything on the physical plane. As Eric Butterworth said many times, our job is not to set things right, but to see them rightly, was his actual quote. So in the first chapter of this book, the first lesson of his series, he titles it The Allness of God. And here's what Butterworth says. He says, metaphysics is not to be studied, but to be practiced. Metaphysics is not a thing in and of itself. It's a kind of perception. He says, I like calling it a new insight into truth, which is the subtitle of the book. Metaphysics really, I guess we would say, is just a different way, a new way of seeing, a new lens for perceiving the universe. And as Marcel Proust wrote, the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. And that's what metaphysics does for us. It gives us new eyes. Now, Eric Butterworth especially uses the term practical metaphysics to emphasize that all too often, we go through metaphysics intellectually instead of looking at it as a way that we can practice truth. He says that we can be students of religion in the sense that we are well-versed in religious teachings, such as the Catechism. We are able to express various prayers, which we've memorized. We know when to sit down, and we know when to stand up in church. But, he says, that is not the nature of metaphysics. It's concerned especially with living life to the fullest. Unlike our feline friend here, I'm sorry, I promise next time I'll bring a dog cartoon, okay? But unlike our feline friend, it says a cat's midlife crisis. What are you so bummed about? I'm on my fifth life. Okay, we all have days like that, don't we? We all have days like that. But as Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Our lives, according to Butterworth, should demonstrate the fruits of the metaphysical system in terms of healthy-mindedness, prosperity, healing, peace of mind, greater love in our relationships, and greater peace in the world. He says this is the proof, and we have to expect it. If it doesn't demonstrate, we might as well forget the whole thing. That's how firmly he believes in making our spirituality practical. And all too often, Butterworth says, we've been actually living our lives at what the Irish poet Yeats called the whirling circumference of life, from the outside, only in human experience. And in metaphysical insight, we realize that there is something else. There's that depth within. Butterworth says, you can't actually understand life by appearances at the outside, at the circumference. There's always something more, something deeper, something richer, something finer. And Reverend Butterworth challenges, you have to know, if you've read Eric Butterworth, you do know, Eric Butterworth is big on challenging. And he doesn't just challenge, some of you are shaking your hands, he doesn't just challenge Orthodox religion or traditional religion. He challenges our new thought ideas too, and I really like that about him. He says, so he challenges the prevailing definition of metaphysics. He kind of adds to it. He says, metaphysics is not beyond the physical at all, but rather a perception of a higher dimension of the physical. Practical metaphysics is the persistent attempt to relate to the reality beyond appearances, but as a dimension of the experience. In other words, we're not denying the experiences, the challenges we have on this physical plane. Some of them can be pretty awful, but we're looking through them to a greater whole. I know all of you probably heard the story of the 6 blindfolded men who encountered an elephant for the first time. The first man grabbed a leg and declared, "This elephant is a pillar." The second man grabbed his tail and declared, "This elephant is like a rope." Another touched the trunk and said, "Oh no, it's like a thick tree branch." Still another touched the giant ear and said, "It's a giant fern." "And it's a huge wall," said another who touched the elephant's side. "No, no, no," said the last. "It's like a solid pipe touching the tusk of the elephant." So none of them could see the whole, could they? They were all looking at the parts. And it can be that way with us when we can only see our human experiences of lack and despair. Jesus Christ removed the blindfold. Butterworth calls Jesus the master metaphysician, saying, obviously Jesus would say, "But it didn't start with me." He didn't create the law of divine action, of mind action. He didn't create the law of divine love. He discovered and embodied the laws and taught us that the infinite potential of man and the influence of the allness of God are what are important. Jesus said, "What I have done, you can do." And Butterworth calls this the missing link in religion. Any great demonstration, he says, is repeatable. The principle, what God has done for you, what God has done, God can do for you because you are involved in the same infinite law. Butterworth writes, practical metaphysics deals with what I call a repeatable Christ. Jesus dealt with the repeatable Christ, and that's what we're involved in, this constant creative process at being in the Christ consciousness, much the same way Jesus himself saw it and taught about it. So turning to religion, Butterworth says, too many learn religion like they learn mathematics. He says, we are taught to deal with all sorts of structural parts of religion. Too often we fail to put all the pieces together, like the guys in the elephant. We fail to integrate our religious training in the here and now. And this, according to Butterworth, is what religion should be about, our lives in the here and now. The word religion actually comes from the Latin, and it means to connect, bind, tie together, unite. This is interesting. Religion actually means unity. That's what the word means in the original Latin. It means wholeness and oneness. It's not a God far away in some distant heavens, as Billy in Family Circus questions. Some of you have seen this before. I've used it in prayer classes. He says to his mommy, if God is all the way up there in heaven, shouldn't I have to pray a whole lot louder? And how many adults, it's funny, but how many of adults still hold that image? Butterworth insists God is not out there in some faraway part of the universe, not in a shrine where great healings take place, but in all things bound together. He says we're in it and of it all the time. But unfortunately, according to Butterworth, religions have tended to present themselves as institutions instead of perceptions, something you join instead of this transcendence that you experience. We have bought into the idea that God works exclusively through the institution. So we believe if you go to church, you get close to God. I've mentioned this incident before, but one time I was driving down a road close to my house, and I passed a church, and their sign out in front said, come on Sunday, God is here. And I remember thinking, well, yes, I believe God is there on Sunday, but that's not quite the whole story, is it? So Butterworth says, God is present in church, of course. God is also present in a theater and in a casino. God is present, period. God is omnipresent, present everywhere, and you don't have to go to church to get close to God. Okay, before all of you bolt for the door, I will say there is a good point in going to church, and that is hopefully to be challenged to dig deeply within to find that consciousness of presence that is with you always, so that you know that wherever you are, wherever you go, God is. That's extremely important. Butterworth quotes Paul in Acts 17, where he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, God gives God's self to everyone as life and breath and everything else, for in God we live and move and have our being. And I know you've probably heard the saying, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Okay? It's so true. So next we come in the chapter on God being allness of one of what I think is one of the most profound of all Eric Butterworth's teachings. And I know that's kind of an audacious statement, but I do believe that. And it is this: God is an allness in which I exist as a oneness. I'm not sure if you've heard it phrased exactly that way. I'd like you to say it with me a couple times. We need to really get this in our consciousness. Can we do it together? God is an allness in which I exist as an eachness. Let's do it one more time. God is an allness in which I exist as an eachness. Butterworth says, the greatest discovery of modern times is that although our human lives and the world are incomplete and imperfect, has anybody noticed that? I mean, we only have to look at events of this week, you know, the horror of another shooting, to know our world is not perfect. However, within any event, above any event, through any event, there is a perfect whole, regardless of whether we can feel it or see it at the time. It maybe is our desire to know God that has led to us creating God in our image instead of the other way around. You know, maybe it's all we can wrap our human heads around that God must be like us. But Butterworth says, God is not a person out there. God is a presence that is ever present or in the most complete sense, God is an allness in which I exist and you exist as an eachness. And he says, don't take that lightly. Let it run through your consciousness a bit. So I invite you to do that. In other words, each of us is an expression of God. And we say that a lot, but we need to realize the word express means to stand forth. It means to be. And so we can say, and I'd like you to affirm these with me too. Can everybody see them? Okay, we could say together, ready? I am the allness of the activity of the love of God. I am the allness of the activity of the life of God. I am the allness of the activity of the peace of God. And the last one's a little different. I am the allness of the wholeness of God. And so, did you feel a truth when you say those? Do you feel that in your heart and soul? He says, Eric Butterworth says, we may not always see ourselves in relation to the wholeness, the allness, yet we are. Whether you know it or not, you will experience to the degree you do know it. So if you see yourself in part, you will only experience in partial manifestation. But here's the good news. Here's the really good news. Even in the midst of that partial expression, which might look like not enough money, not enough courage, not a decent job, or not enough wholeness to heal, even in the midst of any partial expression, there is that counterpart of allness, and all we have to do is claim it. That is the key to healing. Butterworth says, there's an allness in your illness. And that's an amazing statement. There's an allness in your illness. This is the key to overcoming any earthly condition. It's the key to joy, peace, and prosperity. You are the expression of the creative process. There's a story that Butterworth relates in his book to the British navies at the time when the British Empire was so strong, they were having trouble maintaining their power all over the world. So one of the admirals was sitting in the headquarters in Britain, and he was looking at all the maps, and he said to his superior, "Sir, with all respect, I really think we need larger maps." And the fact is, Butterworth says, if we are going to understand ourselves in modern times and relate religion and spirituality to our real human experience, we need larger maps. We need a larger thought of God and an expanded insight of ourselves. Our old concept of God, the God of only human consciousness, is not great enough. The fact is, God is not to be found out there. God is nowhere in the sense that God is not to be physically found. But with just a slight emphasis, we are invited to see it differently. Now, God is now here. God is present, always present, now here. I know God expresses through me, as me, at the point of me. Again, the allness expressing as an eachness. And we are also told that we are to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am a fulfilling expression of the allness of God, that I am whole, that I am complete. I embrace the constant expression of possibilities. Butterworth says, if I can know this, if I can establish my identity within it, then I'm in the flow of evolution where healing and growth are available to each of us because of our innate wholeness. He says, you see this allness is always present and totally present. Then he quotes Thomas Troward, who was an early thought theologian, one of the first, who wrote, now this is another concept we really have to take a minute and get into our heads. He wrote, wherever spirit is, the whole of spirit must be. Wherever spirit is, the whole of spirit must be. Butterworth calls this one of the greatest metaphysical ideas ever expressed. And I remember when I was in a class and first heard this, it gave me a whole new understanding about what omnipresence really is. God's omnipresence means that Spirit fully and completely expresses at every single point of the universe. Now, this is really hard to get our human heads around, isn't it? We want to divide God up in little chunks and put a little piece in you and a little piece in you, but that's not the way it works. God's omnipresence means that God expresses fully in every point of the universe, which means that God expresses fully through you and through me. That's an amazing thing. Butterworth says, this it might be hard to get our human heads around, but it means the whole of infinite mind is present at the point of our minds. The Holy Spirit is present and can't be absent or can't be divided because it is all presence everywhere constant. So this means the whole Spirit, the whole of healing, the whole of substance, the whole of creativity is present as you and me, as an eachness within the allness of God. The full power of the whole is present within every cell of your eachness, as our daily word said today. You can become what you really desire to be, this means, not because of some distant divine intervention, but because you have learned and know that your divine potential, the Christ in you, is always present within as allness. Now, certainly, we have to admit, or I will admit for myself, most of us have settled for less than our better selves, have we not, at times in our lives, in our human skins? And sometimes we do that from an attitude of self-limitation. We just can't grasp that we are the Christ. Butterworth reminds us, you can open your eyes, expand your awareness, and see yourself in a larger context. You can open up to the whole new universe about yourself. And as Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. That's a very important slogan of our prayer chaplain program. And finally, Butterworth redefines, again, taking a new slant on it, he redefines what it means to practice the presence of God. He says it doesn't necessarily mean fleeing flashes of insight or sound or having intuitive senses of the infinite process. It doesn't necessarily mean meditating for long periods of time. He says a doctor practices medicine, right? But that doesn't mean that the doctor sits for long periods of time on a pillow in a lotus position before passing out meds, right? That's not what it's about. The doctor practices medicine. We practice the presence. We make it become our life. To practice the presence of God means that we relate always to the God process and claim a channel for God's allness. To practice the presence is to live believing in the allness of God, the divine potential for wholeness present within. It is knowing that there are no empty God spots anywhere in the universe. Where you are, God is. Where you are, love is. Where you are, faith is. Where you are, wholeness is. Wisdom and life. Life is a glorious everyday process of relating ourselves dynamically with the omnipresent God activity that radiates in and through us and through everything. And so it is. And so as we begin to take these ideas into prayer and meditation, let's affirm our great truth about the allness of God. And for those of you who are here for the first time, this is printed in your bulletin. Let's really take this in our hearts today and not just say the words, but really concentrate on what they mean. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.